Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine. This is our last tour, y'all.
Heh.
Why are you so excited? Look at how excited Kay is. Well, I'm not excited.
You know, it's funny because live shows are actually my most favorite thing to do.
I can't tell. You supposed to say dead ass?
Oh, I was supposed to say dead ass? Sorry.
Yeah, is your last, you the last
dead thing? Ass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
Story time.
Oh my God.
I'm going to take y'all back to 2019. That was the first time we did a live show.
Was it 2019?
Yes. It was. And as a matter of fact, nah. I'm going to take y'all back to 2018. Kadeen and I was on the Black Love panel, and they did the Black Love Live panel. And this was in L.A. It was us, Sterling K. Brown and his wife. Who was the other couple? Oh, it was Tommy and Cody.
Tommy
and Cody was up there.
Was it Michael Jai White on that too and his wife?
No, not on that panel. The panel in L.A. was just us three couples.
Oh, okay, okay, right.
And
right.
I had told the story about the stroller and how you cursed me out for what you thought was giving away the stroller, which wasn't giving away, it was at my brother's house.
Yes.
And in that moment, I had saw the reaction from the crowd that I had never saw before while I was telling the stories. And I was like, man, I actually love telling these stories, but the feeling you get from telling the stories as opposed to creating a post on Instagram was completely different. And it was in that moment that I was just like, we need to go on tour. And that's when I came up with DeVal's Truth Live, hosted by Kadeen, you would be hosting the whole storytelling and us going back and forth, which is ultimately Deadass Podcast.
Right, because it was giving a stand-up-esque kind of feel, but encompassing what the podcast show was, like the rundown. So.
Yeah, because the whole idea to me was, we've never seen a stand-up comedian tell stories about his family when his wife was there actually being able to either corroborate the story or be like, nah, nigga, you lying.
Right.
And I just felt like it was a different dynamic that we've ever seen from anyone. And since I don't consider myself a stand-up, it was just a way for us to do our show in that way.
Right.
So that
only
was,
made sense.
It only made sense. And then it morphed into the Deadass Podcast. And then ultimately now, Deadass Podcast Live. Dang, what song are we going to sing
for karaoke?
What
was one of our most popular songs, I feel like, on tour?
Well,
people love Dreams and Nightmares.
I was just about to say, every time we close the show and you hear, hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished? When I bought that ass in Marley, y'all thought it was rented? It always turns the crowd, like the crowd gets hype. as a way to close it. Because everybody knows Dreams and Nightmares, like the right. ultimate hype song. They play that before every basketball, football, baseball, soccer
That's
game.
Fact.
So to play it at the end of our live show was just like,
right.
it only made sense. And the first time we played it, we were in Philly.
We did. You're absolutely yeah. right about that, which makes sense. McGill's yeah. Philly, all that. But we also had a couple of other good ones. Like, think about those songs that when you hear it, when black people are together in one space, we can't help but go into chorus. I think one is, what's that? Keisha, is it Keisha Cole's song?
You know what I'm thinking about? Oh, yes, that is a good
one. Never knew what I was missing. Yep.
Yeah, that song goes hard.
That's another good one. Can We Talk?
It's like candy. I can feel we roll.
All right, now.
We don't need a song. I think all we out. Oh,
it's Penny like Proud's candy. Dad.
That song made every black person get up and start doing an electric slide.
That's a fact. Doom, 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 doom. You can't glaze over Can We Talk, though. That's another one that everybody
I wasn't going to glaze over, and you could pause that because I'm not glazing anything. But everybody, especially since the challenge came out.
Which challenge?
The Can We Talk challenge.
Oh, the Can We Talk challenge. Yeah. Exactly.
You going to try and sing? Because I know I'm not.
Or the Superstar
My
challenge.
You said we're not going to glaze over the Can We Talk. You're not going to do the Can We Talk. Don't glaze over it.
What?
Sing it.
Wait, what? The whole song?
Not.
Just the challenge part. What was the challenge part again? I forget.
You forgot.
Because my mind is on Superstar now by Usher.
This the same person that told me. All right, so we just glazed over. She literally said, we're not going to glaze over Can We Talk. And then I said, well, go ahead and sing it. She said, we at the Superstar Challenge now. How you going to do that? You see how she...
Welcome to our karaoke compilation, y'all, as we prepare for the Deadass Live show.
Yes.
Let's get it together. We're going to pay some bills and come back. And we're going to talk about preparing for the tour, what it's looking like for us, why this might be our last tour for now. And hopefully we can get some clarity for y'all about what's going to be happening when we're out there in February. So stick Thanks. Around. We'll be back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, y'all. Losing two loved ones in a matter of 6 months, it can be a lot. And a lot of times when you're dealing with grief, you have a lot to get off your chest with your family.
That's absolutely right. You know, people carry around all different types of stresses, big and small. When you keep them bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to kind of figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first visit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know, I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E, because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
I forgot that that was really how we came up with the Deadass Live show.
Yes.
That it was really when we had the sit down on stage with Cody and Tommy and mm-hmm. Sterling and Ryan. But also, too, I remember us going to the live show for The Read.
Yes.
With Crystal and Kid. And
shout out The Read.
We love The Read.
They were the first podcast that started to talk about you and
about
I.
About us.
And we started to get some momentum from The Read. So we always have to give a shout out to The Read. Kid, he's my guy, bro.
Love him.
He's freaking hilarious.
My Bridgerton, Crystal. So shout out to The Read. They're the ones who really are, for us, are like the fairy godparents of podcasting.
Because that's what we looked at.
We did.
It was Kid and Crystal. Yeah.
And they're still doing their thing. So going to their live show as well, too, we were like, wow, this is like pretty much like the podcast, but we get to see them in person.
Yep.
So it was like the perfect marriage for Deval and I when we were trying to curate what the Deadass live experience was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's having the entertainment portion of it where Deval is, of course, doing his elaborate story times. And I'm there to either confirm or deny whether the story is true or not. And then getting audience participation, because, of course, that's the one thing that we're missing when
yes.
we have podcasts that we record like this. Right. He and I are just answering things. But then there's the listener letter portion
yep.
where we get to have the audience interacting with us and asking questions mm-hmm. live and in the moment. And this time around, I think Deval and I were really looking for a way to kind of, we've been saying, go out with a bang. So what does that mean for you, babe, telling these folks that we're going out with a bang?
Well, the first thing is going out not because we necessarily just don't want to do it anymore. We clearly mm-hmm. still want to do it. The mm-hmm. problem is finding time to prepare around my filming schedule and our parenting schedule and actually putting on a show that we feel is good enough to be Deadass Podcast.
Oh,
that's
for
sure. the biggest issue.
Like, for sure.
Last year, we did a show in August, and then we did another show again in February.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally about 5 to 6 months in between, and then planning that show, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was very taxing
on
us.
Last year? No, you mean the year before. Yeah.
Well, no, 2023, we did it in
just
February, but then 2022, we did it in August.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we actually did two rounds of shows in
mm-hmm.
1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we pick the shows, for people who keep asking us, how come y'all didn't come here? How come you come there?
Right.
We are picking the shows and the locations based on weather. Because last year we did Detroit and Chicago in February.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost didn't have a Detroit show because mm-hmm. there was a weather emergency and there was a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were telling us, you might want to cancel the show. But we were like, we can't cancel the show because if we do, we won't know when we'll be able to come back.
Right.
And we've had over 1,000 people buy tickets.
Shout out to Detroit, though. Y'all are resilient AF.
Facts.
And for them, I think the people in Detroit, they were just like, well, it's just another snow day out here.
Yep.
You know, so everybody still came out. Like, the house was
yep.
packed, and we love y'all for that, Detroit. So, of course, we do want to run it back, but we may run it back if we do in the future in a summer month.
Summertime. Detroit and Chicago in the summertime. That'll
yeah.
be great. We also did L.A. in February last year, and it rained
torrential
the 2 days that downpour. We were in L.A. So now we're trying to figure out what's the best time to do a tour.
Mm-hmm.
But we also realized the only time for us to do a tour is in February
mm-hmm.
during pilot season, because once March and April comes around, I'm typically filming.
Yeah.
So we can't even do it in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
The summertime, we've dedicated to our family. We've dedicated to the boys. And yeah. then in the fall, I'm typically filming sisters or Zatima.
Right.
So right now, the only time we have is February. And we don't want to just continue to give you guys the bare minimum. We
no.
try to up the ante every time,
mm-hmm.
but that requires a lot more planning. So
listen, y'all, the one thing we ain't trying to do is play in y'all face.
Facts.
Okay, so we're not going to tell y'all to come out to a show, make it a thing, make it a weekend or whatever, and then deliver a mediocre show.
Not so doing that.
We're always trying to find ways to elevate the experience.
Facts.
How do we feel about our first live show versus the last one? I mean, man, so much evolution, I think, has taken place from the first show to the last one we did. The last show was Chicago. The very first show, was that in
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, or was that in Brooklyn?
No, the very first show was in Philadelphia. We finished in Brooklyn.
Yes, you're right.
The very first show was in Philadelphia. I can't remember the name of the theater. It was about a 400-seat venue.
Yeah.
The crowd was amazing. That's why we always go back to Philly. Amazing. Whenever we do a Northeast tour, we always go back to Philly.
For sure.
I felt good because, of course, it was a smaller venue, so we were actually trying some things out. But I learned then that you and I work really well in a live situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it was so much fun because we got to bounce off of each other and the audience.
And I was going to say, the audience energy is everything for us.
Yeah.
The audience energy. And that Philly show, I remember exactly the Philly show. I remember being super nervous. We had like a small meet and greet before.
Yep.
And it's something about just meeting y'all in person that I know when people approach us, sometimes they're like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, I'm so nervous meeting you. But I get nervous meeting y'all sometimes because I never want for anyone to meet me and they feel like, damn, like, Kadeen didn't live up to whatever I expected her to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's always something that I take into consideration. And of course, you know, you may find me in a moment where I might be in the middle of like my mind, or I'm traveling with the kids, or like we just went through TSA the other day and they took my chaga butter from me and I was so mad about it. And shout out to homeboy at TSA. Sorry, bro, it wasn't you. It's just like, I've traveled with that so many times before, and the one time I traveled this time, you want to take it from me.
She was giving Buddy the ill attitude. I was like, babe. Like, I'm like, he didn't make the rules. All he's doing is enforcing the rules of the airport.
I just
airport.
Want the rules to be consistent, y'all. Come on, Hartsville, Atlanta, be consistent. I want the same travel experience every time. But anywho, I just say that to say, whenever I meet y'all, I love to have that energy in person. We feed off of you. That's why I think also, too, for us, some show venues, we think one show is maybe better than the other because the audience participation, the vibe that you give to us, helps us to deliver a show to you. So that reciprocity I love to have in a live show experience. What inspired us to put together this next show?
So, I'm glad you asked that. Last year, Kadeen and I, well, Kadeen specifically, went on a world tour with Beyonce. I actually had an opportunity to go see Beyonce twice.
Uh-huh.
I saw LL Cool J, which to me is one of the GOATs rappers. Like, he's one of the greatest performers I had ever seen. We saw Drake and we saw Usher to close out the year.
Mm-hmm.
Watching those live performances definitely sparked something in me to want to give y'all greater.
Mm-hmm.
So when people keep asking, what can we expect? And like, why is this the last show? I know how much work it took for those artists to create the show that they curated for people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give people any shortcuts.
Yeah.
So we have some things in this show I'm not going to say. But when you watch it, you're going to say they've invested time and resources to be able to prepare that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you guys to have the wow shock factor, we're not going to get into the details of what we've added to the show. But we've added some different elements that's going to make you say, wow. This is no longer just a podcast experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming to see a show.
Baby, and we working over here.
Yes.
All right. We are over here working physically, mentally.
Man. Man. You see?
Spiritually.
You see, niggas don't care no more about, listen, we got to do the podcast, yes, but I'm tired. I've been working out every single day. We have rehearsals. We have so many other things to do. And I'm like, I'm going to put this clothes on. I'm going to change the shirt for them. But we are working so hard, Kadeen and I, and our whole staff, the crew.
The whole team.
The whole team. Every day we are on phone calls like, what do you guys think about this?
Group chats, all
that. Let's add this. Let's increase this. It's just, it's been a fun experience.
Yeah, it really has been fun to prepare. I think it brings us that much closer together. It brings the crew that much closer together. And everybody is so invested in what will be the Deadass Live show.
Yes.
At least for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
Because like I said, it really is, like, I joke about like not coming back and not wanting to do this anymore, but it really is one of my most favorite things to do. And it is having the live experience. And I think that's just from my background of always like being on stage.
You're a pageant
and, like,
girl. Like, you love
dance competitions.
I see you once
that, like,
Kay, you be fronting like, yo, these live shows are so much. But I have to do her intro. And when I do her intro, when I look back and I see that pose and that silhouette, and then you start walking, and nothing else matters. You're not worried about anything else.
No, I do get
you
into
are the
my
star. You come
that.
Out and you get in your element. And
it's
amazing to watch. It really is amazing to watch you get in your element on that stage and do what you do.
Because it's important for me to, as much as it fills me up, it's important for me to deliver that to you guys when you come to the show. Like, I don't take it lightly that you guys have spent your hard-earned money, that you are investing time, mm-hmm. that you're listening to us, you're supporting us, you're sharing us with people who you know and love. I don't take that lightly. So one of the questions on here is, what's most important to you with putting on these live shows? It's really just making sure that every single person in the audience feels like, man, I really enjoyed this 90 minutes or whatever mm-hmm. with the Ellises. And those of you who have the meet and greet, you know, I hope that when we do meet you, even though, you know, we may be exhausted from a show,
right,
a long line of people to meet and greet, we want each experience for you guys to feel like, man, I was the only person in this room with Deval and Kadeen. So just know that from the bottom of our hearts, that's really what we're invested in. Because yes. we know none of this would be possible without you guys.
You can say that one more time.
Yes, none of this would be possible without you.
None of this would be possible without you guys, our Patreon crew.
Yes.
Everyone on social media who share and subscribe mm-hmm. and pass along notes about coming to see the Ellises. None of this could have been done without you. So we appreciate you.
Because I will say, particularly the Patreon gang, shout out to y'all. You have to really be invested in a level of support to us if you are spending money every month to yes. join us in those experiences. So we yes. don't take lightly what we produce for you on Patreon. You don't have to be there to do that. And we've given, I want to say, almost 7 years of just content
right.
that hasn't been like highly produced or cost anything.
That's why this next question, what do you hope to gain from the live shows? That's what you're saying leads me into that.
Yeah.
I hope to curate an experience in person, because the digital age has made it so that people think they really know you because they watch you on the phone or watch you on TV. But no, they don't really know us. So when mm-hmm. we do the live shows, I want them to really get a chance to know us, mm-hmm. get a chance to say, I was in the same room as mm-hmm. those people. I was there when they were building,
mm-hmm.
because even like one thing I will say, there is no mistake when you look at entertainment and why comedians
mm-hmm.
continue to be the greatest source of influence. When they're looking to add someone to a project, they'll go to find a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go to find a singer or a rapper. They always go to people who do what?
Mm-hmm.
Provide live laugh. Shows. No, right. not laugh, live shows.
Well, live shows that live they can, shows, yeah. can come and laugh. And...
because live shows bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who can command an audience live
yeah.
is a better person that will command them on television or in the movies. Mm-hmm. So for me, I want to continue that aspect of entertaining live,
right.
not just digital.
Right.
I want people to be like, I went to an event and I ate and I drank and I laughed and I cried and I hugged my girl or my wife or I hugged my husband and I met them afterwards and they were the same people that I saw
uh-huh.
on the internet. Like I saw them and I actually right. shook hands and they gave me words of encouragement, and like that's what I want for people.
Oh, for sure. And I even think of people who have left the shows, like when it talks about what the audience gains, like I had people who then wrote in after the fact or even just hearing from our team, like people got to see the full experience, not just Deval and Kadeen, but they got to meet Josh and Matt and mm-hmm. Triple and Denora and like all of the people who helped to really just be invested in what this
Absolutely.
Experience looks like for y'all. So it's like a family feel. We get to be on stage with you guys. It's not all curated and highly edited and all
right.
that. You really are just getting us in the moment.
Yes.
And I love what that feels like for us. And I'm hoping that everyone who's been to the show already will be back, because we have a lot of people who've been back and been
yeah.
to every show so far in whatever respective city. But that just lets me know that we have a good thing going when there are repeat people coming back.
Absolutely. And also, this is not the last show that we hate doing it, we're never doing it again. We're
mm-hmm.
trying to find a way to curate an experience that you guys deserve,
mm-hmm.
but also curate our lives to where our kids get
yes.
the best version of us and our careers. So we're
yes.
trying to find a way, but as of right now, this is going to be, we're going to put everything into this show.
Yes, yes. And I mean, yeah. also too, like to piggyback off of that, Deval, where we have the live shows now in the time of year, February, always kind of falls right into March and April when you are potentially filming something.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be real about why we even started this journey. It was to help to spark your acting career,
yes.
just sharing in general and just showing mm-hmm. what you were capable of.
Yes.
And I just honestly feel deep down in my soul that this year is going to be a breakout year for you. And bring on the projects, bring on the leading male roles. Bring on all the films. Like, this is what you've been working so hard for. So in me being a bit selfish in this moment, wanting to see you win, I feel like this is like the time. This is when it's going to spark for you, like in your 40s. There's something about now that just makes me feel like we're going to have to take a backseat. And I mean we, meaning me and y'all, you know, take a backseat to DeVal really living.
You will never in your life take a backseat to anything that I got going on. You know that.
I know.
You will, there's never going to be a point where I'm going to be like, baby, you got to understand I'm filming this. Nah.
No,
you
will never take a backseat. I will elect to make that decision for us and for you to be able to do this. Y'all have no idea how much DeVal will lose sleep over what he's trying to curate for this show with alongside me and our team. So I feel like it is just owed to you in this space, in this moment, that you be able to live out those dreams fully.
I hear you.
And just be in those moments.
I hear you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just create some space for me to grow in other ways, but not always be working on something else and saying, oh, I can't do it because we have this plan. I feel you.
Focused. Do you have any favorite moments from any of our live shows, whether it was 2020, 2022, 2023?
One of my favorite moments, the first moment I will have to say, Chicago.
What's up, Chicago? Oh, my God.
To me, Chicago was like the best show.
I love y'all.
To jump over the couch.
After Chicago show.
And the lights, the people cheering. There was a group in the corner that was in the balcony that you could tell that they are fans of our work because they were reciting stuff from Sisters Zatima, from the podcast, reciting videos from 2017, like saying things that I'm just like, wow, like that has become a bit of a cultural phenomenon. Like, for example, one of the young men screamed out, when Kay come out here, she better be ready to drop it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, everyone knows that. Kind of like how when we look at Martin and you know, we look at the Fresh Prince of Jamie Foxx and they have certain things. Like when Jamie Foxx goes, people know that's him. So it's like now when people hear Melville, can I get a drop? They know like that's DeVal and Kadeem do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
Even when the whole drop challenge was happening, I was getting tagged so often because they like, look what y'all started. Look what y'all started now.
Right.
You know, and I just felt good with Chicago was like that moment where everyone knew everything. And it was like, man, like they rock with us.
Yeah.
So Chicago will be my favorite moment. Yeah.
One favorite moment for me that was hilarious was in New York. When I forgot that your parents were in the crowd or they were going to be at that show, because we had already collectively agreed. We collectively agreed that like our parents just can't come to our live shows. Like we would love for them to see us in action, but like it's not appropriate for our parents to come because, you know, we joke about all sorts of lewd things.
Right.
And seeing as though in my mom's eyes, I am still Virgin Mary who's had these children, not by sex.
Mother's crazy. Okay.
Right. Well, I was just like, there's no way. So forgetting that you're not even remembering that your parents were even thinking about coming to the show. I didn't even know if they really had gotten tickets or not. I know your brother was coming. And then we had the whole joke about me getting the dental work done and me saying like, damn, now that my face is swollen, I can't even
suck no dick. She said that in front of my mother.
And I was like, oh my God, your parents are in the crowd. Like, I literally wanted to just, you know, when you had the hole in the stage and somebody just like drops, like that's how I felt.
That was a classic moment.
That was a classic moment for me. But it was funny because in retrospect, looking back on it, it was just a funny moment.
It was a funny moment. Another funny moment, Brooklyn. We were in Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn. This was the first live show we did in Brooklyn. And you had on the gold dress.
The gold dress.
And I was like, you look like an Oscar. And I picked you up like I was accepting the Oscar and you were sitting there like this. I was like that.
And I put the mic in front of you and you were like, I like to thank my mom.
That was great.
That was good.
That was great improv. That's why we love live shows, man.
Man, live shows are bomb. All right, y'all. So yeah, we're excited. We're working. We're about 1 month out from our first stop, which is in Dallas. So February 13th, we will be in Dallas. Shout out to Texas. Y'all weather been looking a little crazy lately too. It's been looking very cold out there.
Oh man.
So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like when we get down there on the 13th of February. And then we have Valentine's Day off in between. The 15th. I am looking so forward to this show. I grew up watching the Apollo.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
The fact that we are going to be performing live in the Apollo is something that I've never even dreamed of. Never thought as a foreseeable thing for us, but it's going to be iconic to be in that space. So,
oh, man,
New York, please show out for us. We're coming back to our hometown, our home state, rather. And we can't wait to be there at the Apollo on the 15th. Then next day, we'll be out in Philly. On the 16th. Philly is also near and dear. Again, first show was ever in Philly. We get so much love down in the D.C., Maryland area, Baltimore, drive up.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be on the 17th.
The 18th,
we're back home.
Back home.
And then we're prepping to get to North Carolina, Charlotte. And I got to say this. We're going to see you on the
22nd. Carolinas, my family is from Orangeburg, South Carolina. Y'all better show up and show out, man.
Come on now.
Because I fought to get this show in the Carolinas.
Fought for Charlotte, for sure.
Because I'm like, yo, we have to do something close by the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone was telling us, oh, y'all doing Atlanta, they can drive. I said, no. Mm-hmm. We have to do something for the Carolinas.
Yes,
so,
for
Carolina,
sure.
Y'all better show up and show
Please
out for
do.
Us. You know?
Even our Virginia folks, anybody up on that side of the Carolinas, come on down and see us on the 22nd in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are rounding out this tour with Atlanta, our new hometown, on the 24th of February. So we're excited to see y'all. We're going to take a quick break. And of course, no episode will be complete without listener letters. So we're going to show y'all some love and get into that after we get into some ads. So stick around. We'll be back. There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E, because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you, you know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we back.
Back with listen letters. I will dive right in.
Oh, I'm about to dive in.
Someone's talking about coming to a show. I'm looking ahead. Let's see. Hi, Deval and Kadeen. Love you and your boys so much. Thank you for being a light in this world and allowing us into your home and lives. You are so welcome. I'm going to my first live show in Dallas in February 2024. Got my VIP ticket, front row seat. Baby, you are lit. Can't wait to see you all and have a good time. It's going to be a good time for sure. I'm writing to you all because my boyfriend would like me to be more spontaneous, spicy in the bedroom, and less shy and awkward. I believe I'm too much in my head when we make love and trying to perform rather than just enjoy. When we enter the relationship, I was a virgin and he was not. So we're still learning what we enjoy in the bedroom. We like adventure and are always open to learning new positions and finding new places to be intimate. It excites us a lot. Can you give advice on how I can be better to feel confident, sexy with my man and ensure that we don't get bored in the bedroom? And how long does it take to find a good groove or be in sync with your partner in the bedroom? All right.
I'll let you answer this one. If a woman, first off, a woman to a woman, I'll let you answer this one.
Girl, I know, because I've been there. I still be there sometimes about what in my mind I think is sexy versus what he's going to receive as being sexy. And this is 22 years in the making. Deval has literally been begging me for certain things.
Yes.
And I just can't get out of my own head about how I can just do it and feel confident doing it and not feel stupid doing it. Thinking that, man, this is something that he's really going to enjoy, but I also feel confident in delivering. So for me, when it comes to that, I just have to, I mean, first of all, I will say Deval does make me feel super comfortable regardless of what phase I am in, physically or mentally, time of day, time of year, whatever it is. He makes me feel comfortable and attractive and wanted.
Because you naturally are, though. Like, I will say this. Mm-hmm. I don't be lying. Mm-hmm. After you've had a baby, before you had a baby, while you're pregnant, I'm still attracted to you.
Right.
So I think it's important that I tell you that so that you don't feel like you're...
Like it's fluff.
It's not. I'm still attracted to you.
Right.
You know, so I think it's important for men to know that when your wife is going through or your significant other's going through these changes, mm-hmm. when you feel attracted to her, let her know.
Right.
You know, let her know.
But sometimes even that's not enough, right? As women, we still tend to internalize things and we're just like picking at that like roll of fat or picking at the moments that we don't feel sexy. So my problem that I had to overcome and I'm still overcoming is what in my mind constitutes being sexy versus just at giving him what he asked for. So I would say talk to your man and just say, hey, what can I do to spice things up? Like, you're a little bit more experienced than I am. I'm still trying to find my groove because you're my first partner. So I'm starting to try. She's also trying to figure out what she still likes.
Absolutely.
So I think having the open conversations and saying, hey, babe, like, what can I do to spice things up? Do you want me to dress some kind of way? Do you want some role play? Should we try spontaneous places? And you, sis, have to be willing and open to receive that and giving him what he wants. And I think that was my problem for a long time is I'm trying to curate an experience that I think is sexy for him when he's just like, I don't need all that. I need this. Give me this. And when he's clear and he's confident about what he wants, you can be confident in delivering that. How do you feel, babe, in terms of like getting that groove or, you know, being in sync in the bedroom?
I would just say this. When he tells you what he likes and what he wants, don't try to give him your version of what it is.
Yeah, that's where I go wrong.
And that's as all the time. I'll say I want one thing, she'll do something else. And then when I say, but I asked for this, she'll say, but I gave you this, as if I should just accept it. It's not fair to your partner if they're telling you exactly what they like, but you keep telling your partner, I hear you, but I'm going to give you this because I know what you need. No, I'm telling you what I need. Why are you ignoring what I'm telling you to give me what's more convenient for you? Mm-hmm. And I think that's for both sides. I don't think that's a man or a woman thing. I think that if you have decided that you want exclusivity from that partner, when that partner tells you that this is what they require or want, you then have to make a choice if you want to provide that.
Yeah.
If you don't want to provide that to that person, it's kind of unfair for you to ask for exclusivity. So since you're asking for exclusivity, if this is what your partner wants and requires, do your best to give it to them as long as it's within your alignment for what your morals are.
Yeah.
Because if somebody asking for too much and you're like, I don't want to do that.
I ain't trying to do all that.
And then you can say, hey, I'm not trying to do that. Maybe we're not aligned on this part of our life. And maybe this is not meant for us.
Do you think it takes a while for people to get into a sexual groove? And the reason I ask that is because, like, I know someone who confided in me about feeling like when she initially started her journey sexually with someone, that they weren't on the same page. Like, I guess maybe they didn't have the right, I don't know if it was the right cadence, or, you know, maybe her way was not like his. Like, does it take time for people to develop a groove with sex, or should you have that initially when you have that attraction? Like,
no, I don't think anything is just this works. What I think happens is, especially for women, being sexual is so taboo, and women are shamed a lot for being sexual. So you spend most of your life trying to dim down your sexuality, because in the workplace, you can't be sexual. If you're a mom and you're out at school, you can't. Like, there's no place for you to openly practice your sexuality. Mm-hmm. Then you get with someone and it's like, this person just wants you to be this flamboyantly sexual being. And it's like, I've never practiced this.
Right.
So it takes time.
Right.
But also for men too, right? Men's idea of sexuality, it becomes extremely perverse. Because from the time we're young, people are telling us, you're a man, you have to be able to do this. You listen to some older gentlemen who tell you, right? So it's like, women are conditioned to not be sexual because it's not ladylike. But then men are conditioned to be overly sexual. Mm-hmm. And now you have two people trying to be together, and you have one being who's overly sexual and another being who's not sexual.
Right.
It takes listening to each other. That's why I'm saying I wouldn't even say time. Mm-hmm. Because if that person's a good listener and this person's a good listener, when they
get right to it.
Get right to it.
Yeah.
But when you have two people who are stubborn, who will say, well, I want to be sexual this way. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in the way you want to be sexual. This is what I want. Now you have a problem.
But also, too, it takes compromise, right? Because there's certain things that I kind of introduced, you know, in our sexual world that you were like, all right, I'll give it a try.
Absolutely.
You know, I'll give it a try. It's not something that I would have necessarily subscribed to in the beginning. But hey, if it's something you want to try, let's do it. And then that,
it does take compromise and grace. Yeah. But it also just takes a willingness to want to be someone. Like, I just knew personally for me, I wanted monogamy, right? And I wanted to find someone else who wanted monogamy. So I also knew as a man that if the person I'm choosing to ask them to be monogamous with me, if they're saying they want to do something, I have to be open to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to be, what do you want to try, babe? What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I can't say, well, I only want monogamy the way I want it. That's unfair for me.
Yeah.
You know, and then I feel like it's also unfair for a partner to ask that of me. So wait, you want monogamy and you want me to only be with you, but I only can be with you the way you want it. Why would anyone subscribe to that? Mm-hmm. So it's not so much just compromise. It's a willingness to be of service.
Yeah.
Because compromise can also be seen as, okay, I won't do this. Mm-hmm. No, being of service means I will do that. Because that's what
it
you require.
Means that much.
And I want to be of service. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I'm doing anything that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I want to be of service. So if this is what you require, I want to do it.
Right. And the two shall meet at some point. Because for me, much like her, sometimes you just get in your own head about the way you need to deliver things. And that can be intimidating. So I get it. Have the conversations with him, sis. See what he likes. You know, see if he's willing to try certain things. There may be certain fantasies that you, in your mind, even though you haven't been as experienced, you might say, hey, I like this. This felt a little good this time around. Let's run it back, you know?
I would say don't listen to anybody else about what you should try.
No.
Ask him what he requires and what he needs. Mm-hmm. Provide that while also figuring out, because she was a virgin, what you need, require, and tell
and what
him.
What you like.
Anybody else telling y'all try this, you don't know if y'all gonna like that. Yep. But now you introduce something to your bedroom that you don't even know if you like or he likes. It was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Ask him what he wants. Mm-hmm. But then also be like, babe, I'll do this. I want to try this. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Y'all will have fun. She said that they're having fun. So I think they'll have fun engaging and talking consistently to each other. Leave everybody else out of this conversation. Don't ask your mom, your sister, your male best friend, your brother. Don't ask them what they do. Mm-hmm. Learn your body, know what you like, and ask your partner what they like.
Period.
Number two, hello, Kay and DeVal. Recently, a friend of mine was promoted to this high-level position, and she reached out to me about an opportunity to come work with her. I've been in management a few years now, but at the time, I wasn't really happy at my previous job, so I felt this opportunity came at the right time. It was more money, a smaller team to supervise, and I was allowed to work from home 2 days a week. That sounds like a plus. Plus, I felt this new position aligned with my professional goals, so I accepted without hesitation. I have known her for over 15 years, and I was excited about working with her and supporting her in her new role. When I first started, everything was going well. However, that didn't last long. I started seeing sides of her that I had never seen before.
Ooh.
She became so hot and cold, and at times wouldn't even speak when she came into the office. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand she's in a high-level position, and her job can be stressful, but she is becoming downright mean and bully-like. I am not the only one who feels this way because other managers would come to me venting about her behavior towards them. After work, she acts as if nothing happened and I'm left feeling perplexed. Mm. I just listened to the episode when you all discussed why you started Patreon. You all talked about hiring people you trust and how you don't work with them. You don't work with just any brand. My question to you is, how do you know when to choose the right job role for you? Also, how do you manage hiring your friends? For instance, DeVal, how do you know which acting roles are best for you? And Kay, I'm sure you get hundreds of requests to host speaking engagements. What do you look for in order to say yes or no? Deep down, I felt like this was the right position for me, and now I feel like I've made a huge mistake. I also feel like this working relationship will now cause tension between my boss, nope, who just so happens to be my friend. Mm. I want to talk to her about it, but I don't know how to address her antics professionally and from a friend's perspective. I could be wrong, but I think this new role has gone to her head a little.
That's why they say you don't mix business and pleasure.
People need to understand that there is a difference between a friendship mm-hmm. and a business relationship. Mm-hmm. She's hiring you because you guys are friends. She is not going to be your friend when you guys are at work. And if you're expecting her to be your friend while at work, mm-hmm. it may come across as bullying if she's being cold mm-hmm. because at work she has to maintain a certain standard to make sure that everyone around her gets her job done. No one likes the person in charge. Mm-mm. I'll tell you this right now. When I have to be in charge of my friends or my family, they all hate me.
Yeah.
All of them, including my wife.
Me included.
Including my wife. You know why? Because there is a standard and there's accountability that is expected by the person who's in charge.
Yeah.
And when shit goes wrong, all of those people then look to who? You. Mm-hmm. So since y'all are going to look to me with that responsibility, I'm going to carry that responsibility with everything I do while at work, which means if you're not getting something done, I have to tell you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit you down and be like, hey, you're my friend. No, I'm going to be like, yo, wasn't this supposed to get done? It didn't get done. It needs to get done. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when people go to work with their friends, they think it's going to be all chummy.
Right.
Until that person has to hold you accountable. And now no one likes the person no more.
But I think there should also be a level of respect. And for me, mm-hmm. I know if I'm working in an environment where my friend hires me for something, nothing's going to stop me from delivering the best version of whatever it is that they need mm-hmm. because I would be so invested in whatever my friend needs right. in that position.
Because you want her to be successful.
There's like a responsibility that I feel like you should have if you are working with a friend on something to say, you know what? I could let a stranger down potentially, but I'm not going to let my friend down in this business relationship.
Nope. Everybody don't think like that.
I would hope that, but no.
Everybody
right.
don't. You know how no. a lot of people think? My friend got me this job. I'm about to be at work. I don't got to come on time. If I'm a little bit late, my friend got me. Oh, this report was due at this time. I'll hand it in this time. My friend got me. That's how a lot of people do their friends when their friends put them on. And then when their friends fire them, oh, she changed. She acting different. Like I was only a 5 minutes late 10 times.
Right.
I've dealt with that. Remember at the gym?
Yeah.
Hiring my friends at times. I'm like, yo, like,
I remember.
The session started at 3:00.
Right.
The valet's only 3:03. We require the parents and the kids to be here 15 minutes early. You think it's okay for you to be 3 minutes late? It's only 3 minutes. Cool. Mm-hmm. Now you have no more group sessions.
Yep.
DeVal took my money away. He power tripping. I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that. This very thing. I've heard that when I was running my business.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
It's hard.
Right about that.
She asked, how do you hire your friends? You use discernment. Mm-hmm. And you say, you know what? I've watched this person over years and I understand that this person has a certain work ethic and I think that work mm-hmm. ethic is in alignment with mine. Yep. That's how I hire friends. And as you're younger and growing, you learn
who can be weeded out of that process.
Yes.
Right now, I know for sure, although I have, for example, let's say a group of 5 friends, there's probably 2 who I would hire. Mm-hmm. And for no other reason than I know that they are effective in whatever roles that they've been in over the course of years. So these are people who have had track records that I've seen them in their own jobs that I can say, along with the fact that we have a friendship and y'all will be invested in my product or my company or whatever it is, I've seen the track record mm-hmm. of how you were able to exist. And that's probably what your friend saw in you,
yep.
which was why the reason why she hired you. But now I feel like it is worth you kind of assessing, okay, what I'm feeling right now from my friend, this bullying in a sense, is it because she's just stressed in her role or is she really going out of her way to be like that because she's trying to flex? Deciding which one it is.
I will say this too. women get an unfair rap when they get hired to a new position. Clearly, this woman worked her ass off to be able to be put in that higher position, because they don't give higher positions to women for no reason, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So clearly, this woman has worked her ass off. You know right. what I've noticed, though, mm-hmm. from a lot of women, and I've learned this from your mom and my aunt mm-hmm. and my mom? Mm-hmm. Everybody's cool with you when we at the same level. Mm-hmm. One person gets promoted, now everybody at that level hates that person. Mm-hmm. She said people are coming to her to talk about her friend. Mm-mm. Don't do that.
Don't do that, sis.
You don't know what type of jealousy is coming with them conversations. You don't know what type.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing you do when someone comes to talk to you about a hire with someone else, like, excuse me. Mm-hmm. If you have an issue with that person, you should take that with HR. I'm mm-hmm. not the person. Because what will happen is that person will then use that conversation and be like, uh-huh, so-and-so said the same thing too. Mm-hmm. Women give each other the hardest time when it comes to moving up, especially in corporate America.
That is a fact.
And I don't want this young lady to look at her friend and then listen to the other people around who are also saying she's being a bully.
Right.
No, maybe she's just being a woman who's holding people accountable, and the fact that she's a woman is making other people pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Your mom went through that. My mom went through that. My aunt Monique went through that. I watched it all the time.
That's a fact. People hated my mom and her job.
Yes, and your mom had 3 straight deficiency-free surveys, which never happens. Mm-hmm. She had one every year for 3 years in a row. And all the people kept saying, I can't stand Sharon. Mm-hmm. Why? Because she gets shit done and because she won't let you come to work late and she holds you accountable. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's a bitch now because she's doing all the things that when that white man was telling you to do, which you had no problem doing it.
That's a fact.
But now you have a woman of color telling you the same thing and now she acting like a bitch. This really be happening in corporate America
a lot.
It
sure as hell does. And then who's responsible when everything has gone to shit? Her.
Her.
The boss.
The boss, yes.
And who's going to have to answer to the bigger bosses? Her. The boss. So, yeah, give her a little grace here, sis. And if you value the friendship that much, know how to have the discernment mm-hmm. to decipher what's what.
Facts.
All right. I think we covered everything in this listener letter, right?
Yes,
she did ask about how I, you know, which acting roles are for you and which speaking engagements. I usually work with brands and I partner with people who align and synergies match with something that I believe in or something that I'm passionate about. That's when I normally take those speaking engagements and roles and stuff like that. Has to be something that I'm passionate about.
For me as an actor, I take roles that are in alignment with my belief system. Mm-hmm. I take roles that tell stories that I can stand behind and say, you know what? I'm comfortable telling this story because I agree with the message. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed that I own businesses, so I don't act for money. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to be an artist and to do anything for money, because then when them roles come around and you have to pay your rent or you have to pay your mortgage mm-hmm. and you may not agree with that role, but you have to take it to pay it, that happens to people at times.
Right.
I've just decided that I wanted to build my own revenue streams outside of my art so that I can say yay or nay to whatever projects and that I don't have to be
inmate number one again.
Right. You know, because sometimes you're tired of wearing the orange suit. Yeah. You know, I get tired of cursing people out and being a thug bad guy, because that's not mm-hmm. the only version of a black man I want to be seen. Mm-hmm. As we talked about early in this podcast, or maybe it was another podcast, but watching everything through the male gaze, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. also watching everything through a European gaze,
yes.
right? When we see things through the idea of that's what everyone believes is the truth, and that's not always the truth. Mm-hmm. So I look at projects, I look at scripts, and I say, what is this story about? What is this character trying to say? Mm-hmm. And if I agree with the message, then I'm with it. If the message challenges me from my own thought and makes me think or rethink what my belief system is, I will then do research to say, am I comfortable doing this? Mm-hmm. For example, Zach. Mm-hmm. Zach is an ex-con.
Right.
I got tired of playing the bad boy ex-con thug with the tattoos. Mm-hmm. But then I asked, and TP said, where do you want to see Zach go? I said, I want to see him. I want it to be a redemption story. Mm. I want to be able to talk about recidivism, going in and out of prison.
Right.
And
because that's someone's story. People relate
exactly.
to that.
Exactly.
People can relate to that.
So I didn't want to amplify or glorify him being an ex-con, but I wanted to be able to tell the story about mm-hmm. what an ex-con goes through mm-hmm. and how they can build themselves up. So just for example, Zach was that guy, you know, and I chose to do that. Even though I didn't want to do any more criminals,
right.
It made sense for me
in that moment.
Yeah.
And you were able to really show an evolution of Zach, you know, trying to be better.
Absolutely.
Trying to be better. All right, y'all. If you want to be featured as a listener letter, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice at gmail.com.
Moan the Truth time. We're talking about preparing for the tour. Deadass Podcast Live coming up this February 2024. Do you have a moment of truth for us,
Ben? Yes.
What's that?
This live show will be something that y'all have never seen before. You will get to see us do things and create an experience that people will walk away with being happy and motivated and smiling and laughing and loving their significant others when they leave that theater. That's my moment of truth. That's what it is.
DeVal hyping this stuff up so much for y'all, man. I hope it lives up to what he's been saying.
Watch.
Because I'm low-key scared as hell. That's my moment of truth. I get nervous before every show. And then once I hit the stage, I'm fine because you all do a great job of making me feel so warm and so loved and everything. But I never take for granted the support that y'all give us. I never take for granted the fact that y'all use your time, you spend your money to really support us. So that in itself is enough for me to work hard to continue to make sure that this show, regardless of what city you're in, is worth it. So we love y'all. We thank you. If you haven't purchased your tickets yet, be sure to go to, is it deadass.com?
Yes, deadasspodcast.com.
Yeah, and then if you can go there and you can find links for all of the shows. You get the rundown for the dates, the venues, and all that good stuff. And be sure to grab your copy of We Over Me. Don't forget about that. New York Times best-selling book.
How you want to take all of my stuff?
Oh, sorry. I didn't even get to the Patreon.
Go ahead, read the whole thing.
I just was in a flow.
Every time she do this, she just be reading the whole thing. Go ahead. I'm going to just sit back and wait.
It was the moment of truth that kind of spiraled into that because it just felt natural. But you can bring up the rear. Be sure to follow us on Patreon, y'all.
I always bring up your rear. You know that. You should have known that was coming.
I was hoping that we could glaze over that and you just wouldn't do that.
I got some stuff you can glaze over too. And then I could pull up the rear. You feel me? Look, she's stuck. She don't even know what to say. This is what I be doing. She's stuck. Be sure to find us on Patreon. See exclusive Deadass Podcast video content. And to find us on social media at Deadass the Podcast.
I'm Kadeena.
And I am DeVal.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And grab your copy of We Over Me. And grab your tickets. Deadass.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you. And how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City and one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's a perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free for everyone and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust, you don't want to miss it.